Hello and welcome to Distillations, weekly extracts from the past, present, and future of chemistry. I'm Robert Hicks. Each week we bring you stories on all things chemical, from barbecue to boron. In this week's show, we're talking about the science of summer. We'll learn how ordinary table salt can keep your swimming pool clean, and find out why some people float in swimming pools while others sink. That's all coming up on today's episode of Distillations. Ah, summer. School's out, the sun is shining, and it's hot. It's the perfect time for a day by the swimming pool. Poolside lounging isn't complete without a good book, a cool drink, and titanium? Audra Wolf explains in today's Element of the Week.
The element titanium is strong, yet lightweight. This lustrous transition metal is grayish in color, highly resistant to corrosion, and non-toxic to humans. It's one of the most common metals on Earth, and its compounds are used in almost every aspect of daily life. Titanium dioxide is an intensely white pigment that shows up as a whitening agent in paints, plastics, paper, cement, toothpaste, and, of course, sunscreen. Titanium dioxide absorbs ultraviolet rays, which means that it converts UV light into heat and energy. Since it's so good at absorbing UV radiation and is relatively inert and non-toxic, it's widely used to protect against the sun's harmful rays. In the quest to make sunscreens less opaque and more translucent, companies have started using nanoparticle versions of titanium dioxide. The compound loses its whitening effect at the nanoscale level. But recent studies have raised questions about these nanoparticles as potential carcinogens. Normally, titanium dioxide and zinc oxide, the other compound typically used in sunscreen, rest on the dead cells at the top of the skin. But making these compounds into nanoparticles increases the likelihood that they could migrate below the skin surface into living cells. Once there, they threaten the health of those cells by making DNA more susceptible to damage when it's exposed to light. This seems to happen relatively rarely, though, and no governments or international organizations have banned using nanoparticles in sunscreens. The intense UV radiation resulting from damage to the Earth's protective ozone layer is a much greater threat to human health than any potential carcinogenic effects from nanoparticles. So before you hit the pool this summer, slather on that sunblock. And that's it for the Element of the Week. I'm Audra Wolf.
You're listening to Distillations. I'm Robert Hicks. Chlorine is one of those smells that can take you right back to the freedom of summer vacation from school. But that smell may soon be rare. In recent years, there's been a movement towards salinating pools rather than chlorinating them. Jennifer Dionisio has more in this week's Chemistry in Your Cupboard.
The smell of chlorine has always been, at least for me, an indication that something was clean. Hospitals use sodium hypochlorite, commonly known as bleach, to sterilize and disinfect areas saturated with germs, and chlorine has always made my whites, and sometimes my colors, whiter. But the most memorable chlorine odor is the one that wafts off a pool, reassuring that any biological materials left behind by previous swimmers has surely been destroyed. The chlorine in pool water comes in two forms, hypochlorous acid and hypochlorite ion. Both kill microorganisms and bacteria by attacking cell walls and oxidizing the proteins and enzymes within the cells, rendering them harmless. The pungent odor, faded swimsuits, and itchy skin it often produces are the trade-off for knowing that the water's clean. But recently, pool owners have started setting aside chlorine tablets in favor of sodium chloride, or table salt. A chlorine generator unit uses electrolysis to break down sodium chloride in water and maintains a constant flow of chlorine into the pool. The resulting compounds fight microorganisms and bacteria the same way that chlorine tablets do, but without the distinctive odor and itchy skin. Some salinated pool owners even use magnesium or potassium chloride instead of sodium chloride, so they can use the backwash from their filters to water their gardens. But while it's commonly assumed that salinated pools don't contain chlorine, the real difference is in the process, not the presence of chlorine. After all, the compounds used in salination contain chlorine too. While some people claim there is a difference in the feel of the water, both types of pools keep swimmers safe. Only one of them, though, smells like summer. I'm Jennifer Dionisio.
Jennifer Dionisio is Program Coordinator for Biotechnology at CHF. Have questions or comments about something you've heard on our show? Send your thoughts to distillations@chemheritage.org. We've just heard about new ways to keep pools clean, but what about once you're in the water? Why do some people float while others sink? David Caruso explains in this week's installment of Mystery Solved.
When I was a kid, my friends always made fun of me in the pool. Whenever I tried to float on my back or my stomach, the dead man's float, I always sank to the bottom, right away. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't stay afloat. All this changed when I went to a beach on the Atlantic Ocean. Floating, which had tormented me for years, suddenly became easy. I had no idea what I was doing differently, but I was sure that upon my return, my friends wouldn't be able to tease me anymore. And they didn't. Until I tried floating in a pool again and immediately sank to the bottom like a ton of bricks. At the time, I didn't understand that while I wasn't buoyant enough relative to pool water to float, I was buoyant enough relative to seawater. Buoyancy is the upward force exerted on an object by the liquid or gas in which it's immersed, and is based on the relative density of the object compared to the liquid or gas. For example, aluminum, which is 1/5 as dense as mercury, would float on a pool of mercury, but tungsten, which is 1.5 times as dense, would sink to the bottom. So it turns out my ability to float in the ocean had nothing to do with skill or training, and my great ability to sink in pool water was not entirely my fault. The average density of a human body is around 1 kilogram per liter, which is just about the same as the density of pool water. The density of salt water, on the other hand, is roughly 1.2 kilograms per liter. Buoyancy explains why I sank in the pool and not in the ocean. It also shows that I was probably in better physical shape than my friends were. People with more muscle than fat have a slightly greater density than pool water, and are therefore more likely to sink. Mystery solved. I'm David Caruso.
David Caruso is Program Manager for Biomedical Sciences and Technologies at CHF. And that's it for this week's episode of Distillations. Today's quotation is attributed to the novelist Henry James. Summer afternoon, summer afternoon. To me, those have always been the two most beautiful words in the English language. Distillations is a presentation of the Chemical Heritage Foundation and is made possible by the generous support of the Richard Lounsbery Foundation. Mia Lobel is our senior producer, with help this week from Lissa Rome. Our assistant producer is Victoria Indeviro, and our executive producer is Audra Wolf. Our theme music is composed and performed by Dave Kaufman. Additional music provided from the PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com. Please tell us what you think about our program, and send suggestions for future shows to distillations@chemheritage.org. Until next time, I'm Robert Hicks.